Welcome to the Perry Johnson Laboratory Accreditation Podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions relevant to the laboratory accreditation industry. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you'd like to tune into our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjlabs.com or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Hello. Welcome to the July 2022 monthly webinar presented to you today by Perry Johnson Laboratory Accreditation. My name is Michael Kramer and I am your presenter. I am the Calibration and Inspection Program Manager at PGLA and appreciate everybody joining us today. So Section 7.9 complaints. Covers section 7.9.1 and 7.9.7 in the standard. If a complaint is warranted, these requirements within these clauses provides an opportunity for the laboratory to determine the root cause of the issue that led to the complaint. That in turn can lead to changes that will prevent future reoccurrence of a similar nature. So a complaint as defined in the standard under the definition section is defined as the expression of dissatisfaction by any person or organization to a laboratory relating to the activities or results of the laboratory where a response is expected. Some general rules of thumb here when you're dealing with complaints. I know we've all had to maybe been on both sides of a complaint. Complaint you on the part where you're projecting a complaint to an organization that you've dealt with, or you, of course, may have very well been on the receiving side of a customer complaint. So some general good rules to follow when dealing with customers' complaints is typically bear in mind that customers who complain typically are interested in resolution rather than confrontation. Of course, customer complaints may initially seem unpleasant, but there are benefits to 17025 accredited laboratories that may only appear when a complaint is received and correctly handled. An example of this could be perhaps a test report or calibration report. A customer calls complaining they're unable to interpret the results, which can provide an opportunity for the organization to improve how the presentation of data is being documented. Ideally, the improvement will prevent future confusion or misunderstanding when customers are issued the report. Dealing with a good complaints, a good approach is to keep an open mind in an accepting manner. This may prompt the complainant to relax and continue speaking. Don't take it personally and react defensively. Do not exaggerate or minimize the complaint. As the complainant speaks, key on the information, some key pieces of information, just as to who, what, whens, and wheres, and the impact that the problem is having on this individual. We're going to look at the requirements now documented in the standard. 7.9.1, that the laboratory shall have a documented process to receive, evaluate, and make decisions on complaints. So that's a shall there, that's a requirement. So in other words, you have to have something that outlines the steps for receiving, evaluating, and making decisions on any complaints that comes into a lab. The documented process outlines the steps necessary to complete a task or process. So this process is specific to complaints, not to be confused with you might have something in place for corrective action. A complaint may well lead to corrective action, but the corrective action procedure or process is not singled out for complaints. This process is specific to customer or other types of complaints that come into the office or your lab or your organizations. And way to document a process, you have a lot of flexibility there. To use a flow chart, swim lane diagrams. Most folks I see are still utilizing an SOP, a standard operating procedure, or manually, electronically in Excel or through automated software. So whatever the method you adopt for documenting this process, you need to include the minimal requirements specified in clause 7.6.3, which we'll get to in a moment. Some requirements there for what the process needs to include. Somewhere in your quality management system, specifically concerning complaints, a process should be documented, followed when those situations arise. 7.9.2, a description of the handling process for complaints shall be available to any interested party on request. Upon receipt of a complaint, the laboratory shall confirm whether the complaint relates to the laboratory activity that it is responsible for, and if so, shall deal with it. The laboratory shall be responsible for all decisions at all levels for the handling process for complaints. We have a few things in that clause, 7.9.2. Primarily, right off the bat there, your complaint process has to be made available upon request by any interested party. So if a customer, perhaps a vendor, would like to see your complaint process as per 7.9.2, this has to be made available. The simplest way to do this, perhaps, if you think about it, is to have it on your website. By doing so, an organization can project that your organization cares about how customers experience your service and are open to feedback. So complaints, the process needs to be made available upon request. Looking at that clause, dissecting it a little bit more. Upon receipt of a complaint, the laboratory shall confirm whether the complaints related to the laboratory activities that it is responsible for, and if so, deal with it. So perhaps a laboratory is one calibration testing sampling organization, you're part of a larger organization, perhaps also manufacturing may go on there, sales, marketing, other things. So complaints pertaining to the lab, as stated here, has to be handled to the lab, and the lab shall be responsible for all decisions at all levels of handling process for complaints. So it doesn't go to marketing, it doesn't go to personnel. It goes, it could be utilized as resources if the lab needs to, but the complaints relating to the labs are to be handled. Complaints related to laboratory activities are to be handled by the laboratory. Okay, look at the process here. So yes, we shall have a process in place. So as an assessor, you know, I'm looking to see that, or as an internal auditor, you want to see that you have a process in place, and has to include at least the following elements and methods. So we have A, B, and C here. So the process, and this is bare bones minimum, as per 17025, needs to include these elements. A description of the process for receiving, validating, investigating the complaints, and deciding what actions are to be taken in response to it. Complaint comes in. Where does it go? There's could possibly be another side to this story. So of course should validate a complaint. A customer calls, complains, for example, I ordered expedited service for my items to be calibrated or tested, and it's supposed to have them back within 3 business days. Which of course, if a customer did in fact order the expedited service, would be a valid complaint. Validating it, you would take it a step further, perhaps look at the work order, paperwork that the customer submitted, and determine whether or not it is in agreement with what the complainant is stating. And if it did, in fact, say perhaps expedited service and it sat in the lab for a week before getting attention, then by all means, it needs immediate attention, and perhaps an investigation would be needed at deciding what actions can be taken to avoid a reoccurrence. 793B, tracking and recording complaints, including actions taken to resolve them. Complaint comes in. Where is that record maintained? Is it a complaint log? Customer calls in, I believe you folks are charging me too much. It may or may not be a valid complaint. Second part of this is including taking actions to resolve them, along with C, ensuring that any appropriate action is taken, i.e. could be corrective action, or perhaps just correcting the issue at hand. Example I like to give would be a report that perhaps has a wrong serial number or sample that got transposed. Something like that could be corrected easy enough. However, correction does not prevent a reoccurrence. If you have five or six calls that come in a short period of time, then perhaps formal corrective action would be needed in that instance. 7 on the head repeatedly here, is the laboratory is responsible for receiving the complaint, shall be responsible for gathering, verifying, and all information needed to validate the complaint. So the lab would, of course, be, in other words, by gathering and verifying information about the complaint, you can determine whether the complaint is valid. The lab needs to assure information received is accurate. Customer calls in, I'm sitting here waiting on your technician to arrive. I've shut my production line down so we can have our equipment calibrated. And of course, that sounds like a valid complaint. Of course, we would need to validate that. And perhaps you look at the scheduling information for the day, and the customer has scheduled actually for the following week. So in that case, you know, it could be a complaint. However, it would not be a valid complaint. Or perhaps it is a valid complaint, and for whatever reason, the fell through the cracks and did not get scheduled. Hence, of course, that would be handled a lot differently than in a unverified or complaint that did not need to take corrective action. All right, moving down the clauses here, 795. Whenever possible, the laboratory shall acknowledge receipt of the complaint and provide the complainant with progress reports and the outcome. So in other words, somebody calls in, you created a complaint record, keep the complainant in the loop. Assure them that the complaint has been received and is being investigated. A possible time frame could be conveyed. So it might be a good idea, perhaps like was mentioned a couple of times here, the laboratory is responsible. Perhaps an administrative person initially took the complaint, funnels its way to the laboratory to deal with the complaint. At that point in time, it would be a good idea to reach out to the complainant, verify the information, and then start your validation process for your complaint handling protocol. Moving on down, 796 is an interesting one. The outcomes to be communicated to the complainant shall be made by or reviewed and approved by individuals not involved in the original laboratory activities in question. So what are we saying here? And this could be difficult for small organizations. We have some very small labs. We have some very large labs where perhaps the individual that was involved in the issue at hand, perhaps the individual that had that scheduling fall through the cracks and the client was left holding the bag with his production line stopped, waiting for the calibration lab to come in and calibrate his equipment, that individual would have to remove themselves from the process of approving corrective action or reviewing and approving what action the laboratory has decided to take as a result of their investigation into the complaint. This also should assure the complainant that their issues have been independently investigated. So you don't want any bias there. So if you think about it, 796, it makes a lot of sense. All right, last but not least, 793. Whenever possible, the laboratory shall give formal notice of the end of the complaint handling to the complainant. So don't leave the complaint in there hanging. When the investigation is completed, then you have decided to that the complaint was valid, was not valid. The situation would be corrected, or whether corrective action has been taken, or whatever other action that's going to be taken, perhaps monetarily for a complainant, if it involved perhaps a refund for any services that were rendered. When that process ends and the final action is determined, give formal notice to the complainant. So I wanted to also bring up here a confidentiality. So confidentiality with complaints, not mentioned directly here under section 7.9. However, it is covered under 4.2 and it's confidentiality in regarding all laboratory activities. So this will also include complaints. It's also important to ensure the complaint that all information about their complaint and the outcome will remain confidential in line with your normal laboratory practices and confidentiality policy. All right, a relatively short webinar this month. I want to thank you again for attending and bear with me one moment. Let me see if we have any questions, which currently do not have any questions that were submitted. So let me give it a minute. Sometimes it takes a while to populate. I think a lot of the information there is pretty straightforward. Those folks that were accredited before the standard was revised in 2017, if you recall, complaints were one section, one clause. And you can see, if you look at the two comparatively, a lot more emphasis is being placed on complaints. I think it's important, and I do come across this, I do quite a few of assessments, particularly with new organizations, that the complaint process is for dealing with complaints. Should be independent of corrective action, non-conforming work. There are other items within the laboratory. Non-conforming work could be perhaps a result, could be prompted by a complaint, possible. And also a source of corrective action could also be from a complaint. So don't have any questions. So we will go ahead and, oh, got one here. For smaller labs, is this sufficient for the administrative side to respond to a technical slash lab complainant? I would say, it depends on the complaint. Of course, the administrative side could respond. However, if they're not technically knowledgeable concerning the complaint, if it was perhaps a interpretation issue regarding the report, the technical side, of course, can be of the laboratory could, of course, be a resource for the administrative side. So I would say yes, for smaller labs, it's possible. However, you may utilize the technical side as a resource. And this is, looks like the question is continued here. Or is it best handled by someone on the science side that is not associated with the complaint? I would say ideally that would be best if it is a technical question and you need to be technically competent in that particular area of testing or calibration in order to convey it, the information to the lab. How can we deal with impartiality? I think that last clause specify that the individual, if an individual was involved in a complaint, was a source, you know, that propelled the complaint from being conveyed to the lab, and that person would have to remove themselves from reviewing the action and approving any sort of action that was taken in regards to the customer complaint. So you would need to remove that person from the complaint as much as possible and object and look at it as objectively as you can. We do not have an official form or SOP regarding handling of complaints tracking through, I guess you're asking is tracking through email, okay. I think that would be kind of tricky. I would say no. Well, bear with me 1 minute. If you recall, under 793, you have to have a process, and it has to entail A, B, and C. And I just thinking about it, I don't see how you could just simply do that through an email, unless you're able to work that into a process somewhere. And we mentioned different ways that process could be specified. Could be an official SOP. It could be a flow chart, or it could be done electronically. So yeah, you would have to, and I would have to put a lot of thought behind it myself under 793, how you could just specify emails and incorporate that into a process. So my gut instinct would be that would not be sufficient. All righty. Seems to be the end of the questions there. So before we go, again, I thank everybody for joining us. If you're in the U.S. here, having a bit of a heat wave, I hope you're staying nice and cool. And we will reconvene for our August webinar. Which is now scheduled for August 29th. And what we're going to look at are the first two sections in the management system requirements. So we have option A and option B, which was brought forth in the 2017 standard. We'll look at that and what that is and what that might mean to your organization, along with section A2, which is a section on management system documentation. Again, thank you for joining us and look forward to you all or logging in next month and attending the August webinar. Thank you.